Shall we begin by opening Hebrews chapter 7, the book of Hebrews chapter 7? And I read from verse 23 to the end of the chapter. And they truly were many priests, talking about the priests of the Old Testament from the line of Aaron. They were truly many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom we have heard this morning, that he is the Son of God, our Lord, fully God, fully man, the one who came to save such sinners like us, and the one now who reigns, who sits at the right hand of God, all majesty. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes this morning to see wonderful things in your word concerning your beloved Son. Amen. This morning we'll continue our series on Leviticus. And if you remember last times, we talked about the sacrifices. It took us maybe two or three times to talk about the sacrifices which came in the book of Leviticus from chapter 1 to chapter 7. Today we are moving to a new theme which is connected to the sacrifices, of course, but it's a little distinct. Because today we will talk about the priests, or the priestly service. What is the service of the priest? What is the ministry of the priests? In the beginning of Leviticus, we have been given the instructions of the sacrifices. The Lord spoke to Moses and told him, these are the sacrifices that I'm expecting from you. And if you remember, we said the sacrifices came before the priests because the ordination of the priests cannot happen without sacrifices. They cannot happen without sacrifices. So, the book of Leviticus teaches first about the sacrifices that are needed for the ordination of the priests. And both the sacrifices and the priests are needed for the initiation of the worship, for the Lord to meet his people in the tabernacle, for worship to take place, for this communion to take place between God and his people. Priests are needed and sacrifices are needed. And now in the first 10 chapters of the book of Leviticus, we are given these things, the sacrifices, the priests, so that worship can take place. This is the goal. This is the goal of what the Lord has done with the Israelites. He brought them out of Egypt. He saved them out of Egypt so that he may have communion. But given the fact that he is a holy God and they are sinners, they just can't come close. We have seen this at Mount Sinai. He warned them, do not come close from the mountain. He taught Moses. And now they are moving to Canaan. And as they are moving to Canaan, he told Moses to build a tabernacle, the end of the book of Exodus, and now he is giving them the instruction how to come close. How to come close. Because the tabernacle that was built, I can say that it has two functions, two main functions. The first one is that it's God's dwelling place. It's God's dwelling place. God dwells in this place. As the Lord came on Mount Sinai, now the Lord will dwell among His people in the tabernacle. Let's open the book of Exodus, chapter 40. After the tabernacle was built, see verse 34, what's happening? Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It's a dwelling place. The Lord dwells in this place. He comes in this place. However, as we have said before, this scene that we see in the book of Exodus creates a tension. Why there's a tension here? Because God is holy, God is dwelling in this place, but the indwelling of God is not what is just needed in the tabernacle. It should be also a place of meeting. God meets His people in this place. Yes, He is there in the midst, but they need to meet Him. Worship will take place. Relationship is taking place. However, the book of Exodus creates a tension. This is accomplished, but the meeting is not. And how do we know? The next verse, verse 35. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. There is a tension. And the book of Exodus and Leviticus are written in a way that, as you are reading a narrative, a tension is introduced and then a resolve is taking place. And how this tension will be resolved in the book of Leviticus. For this meeting to take place, we need two things. We need sacrifices, and we need priests. For the dead people, those who live in death, those whose life is characterized by death, by weaknesses, by defilement, how can they approach the Holy One, the living Lord? Think of it. Even think of it as we come today. Think of who we are. Our weaknesses, our sicknesses, our death, our sin. And yet we come to the Holy of Holies. To the One who is totally life. To the one whom Isaiah was terrified when he realized that he's in His presence. When he saw the presence of God, when he saw the angel saying, "Holy, holy, holy," he was terrified because of who has seen and who He is. And this is our case, by the way. Every time we come to God's presence, we need to realize, how can such sinners come to the presence of the Holy God? And this is the answer. The same answer, as you will see. So, now this goal to meet the Lord is going to be addressed or to be answered or to be solved in the book of Leviticus. And it's interesting, verse 35 says, Moses was not able. If Moses is not able, who can? Who can enter? Moses can enter. So, now priests are going to be ordained so that there may be an access to God's place, to God's dwelling place. So, in this ordination of the priests, we'll see two things. In Leviticus 8, we'll see that they are consecrated, they are taken up from the people, they are being separated from the people in a special way. And then, in chapter 9, we'll see them incorporated with the people. So first, they will be separated from the people. and we'll see how this is happening. And then we'll see them united in a sense, incorporated to the people, so that they may bring the people to God's presence. Let's go and see chapter 8 from the book of Leviticus. Here are the priests. By the way, if you need to read about the priests of the Old Testament, you read about them in the book of Leviticus. If you want to read about the Levites, the other members of the family from Levi who are doing the work of the tabernacle, you don't read about them in Leviticus. You read about them in the book of Numbers. But the priests are in Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons, four sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And from verse 6 on, we will see what we can call consecration of the priests. The Lord will consecrate Aaron and four sons to do this special work. Why? Because priests are needed so that they may access the tabernacle and the meeting with God may take place. They needed priests. And the Lord is the one who ordered this. How did this consecration took place? Well, they have been washed. They have been cleansed. They have been clothed with special clothing. And the clothing tells that they are separate. The sons of Aaron would wear white robes, clean white robes. And their father Aaron had a very special garment to wear. And if you see the colors of the garment of Aaron, as it is described in the book of Exodus, it's the same colors of the tabernacle. It is heavenly, royal colors. Having a special hair hat on his head and a special sign saying he is consecrated to the Lord. He's dedicated to the Lord. But at the same time, you'll find him wearing a breastplate where he had 12 stones representing the 12 stones of the 12 tribes of Israel. And on his shoulders, two stones, and on each shoulder the names of the tribes of Israel are written there. So that every time he will enter into this place, he is taking God's people on his heart, on his shoulders, praying for them, knowing God's will for them. But only Aaron, if you see Aaron, if you walk through the congregation, Aaron will be very clear that he is holy, he is separate. Him and his sons, they are being washed, they have special clothing, and they are anointed with oil. And we know the anointment, as we have heard this morning, they are being anointed as priests, and this oil represents the Spirit of God. They are being anointed by God to do this special role. They are consecrated to do this special role. So the priests, all the priests are treated differently, and the high priest particularly is treated very differently. Very differently. Special clothing, special roles. And unlike the rest of the people, these men will always be in great proximity to the Lord. There's certain restrictions on how they live, how they will deal with their family, even when a member of their family will die, as we'll read it at the end of the book of Leviticus in chapter 21 and 22. But in this consecration, for this consecration also to take place, there must be sacrifices. And that's why we had these sacrifices in Leviticus 1 to 7, in chapter 1 to 7. And what are the sacrifices that will be used? There will be a sin offering, there will be a burnt offering, And there will be a special sacrifice that you will not find in any other place. The Israelites, they don't do it. And we call it the consecration sacrifice. And what is unique in this sacrifice? A lot to be said in this sacrifice, but what is unique is that they take the blood of this sacrifice. One of the things that is being done by this sacrifice is they take the blood of it and they anoint the lobe of the ear of the priest and the thumb of his right hand and the toe of his right feet. And if you think about it, commentators argue, why do they do this? And it seems that this priest, everything that he should listen to, he should listen, hearken to the Lord's commandment and do exactly what he says. He should be obedient to the Lord. And everything he does with his hand in the service of his ministry is for the Lord. And he only walks according to the Lord's rules and commandments and statutes. He's dedicated to the service of the Lord. This ordination takes place for 7 days. 7 days they are in the tabernacle, within the border of the tabernacle. They don't get out, they don't meet people. They are inside for their consecration. And before offering sacrifices, before doing their roles as priests, they must be consecrated according to what is written in chapter 8. In verse 33, this is what it says about their consecration for 7 days from chapter 8. And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. This is how a priest is consecrated. But as I said, it is not only consecrating the priest. They are, in one sense, they are consecrated. They are becoming holy, specially holy. All of Israel is holy, but these people are especially holy. Holier, if I may say. And what does it mean that is holier? They are more separated to the Lord. They are more dedicated to do the Lord's work. But now, they are given to the people as the representative. And this is what we will see in chapter 9. Chapter 9 is a very, very important chapter in the whole book of the Pentateuch. In fact, I would say in the whole Old Testament. Because in chapter 9 we will see the first time worship will take place according to what the Lord has said to be done in the tabernacle. The first official tabernacle worship in the Old Testament in chapter 9, in Leviticus 9. First one. It became to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. Aaron did not offer sacrifices before that day. He's the first ordained high priest and he is going to practice worship as the representative of God's people, who's taking them, representing them before God. The first time this will happen since the fall. Verse 3, and unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both for the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering, also a bullock and a ram for a peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord. And a meat offering mingled with oil. For today, listen to this, for today the Lord will appear unto you. A meeting will take place. A meeting will take place. So now, Aaron is going to do the sacrifices as the high priest. And the goal is not just to offer offerings, but through these offerings, there will be a meeting between God and his people. This is the first time we will see these two spheres. The spheres of death. The sphere of of the profane and the sphere of the sacred, the sphere of the holy, are coming together through this work, through this priest. These spheres, who should have always been kept separate, now there's a meeting taking place. This is a great scene. The first time in history, as I said, worship or a meeting is going to take place between God and His people. This chapter, I will not go through the procedures of offering sacrifices. Yes, Aaron offered first for himself and then offered to the people, as we read in the book of Hebrews. But then the summary of this meeting comes at the end of the chapter, in verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people after offering the sacrifices and blessed them and came down from the offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings, the things that he has offered. And listen to verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. This is in contrast to what we have read in Chapter 40 of Exodus. In Exodus, Moses could not get in, right? The glory of God came upon the tabernacle and they were not able, Moses himself was not able to come in. But now, after the ordination, after the consecration of the priests, after Aaron offered the sacrifices, he entered into the tabernacle, him and Moses. And they were not consumed. And they came out and they blessed the people. What a day. What a day in the history of Israel, in the history of God's people. This is the inauguration of the rituals, the worship in Israel, the worship in the tabernacle. This is the climax of chapters 1 to 10 in Leviticus. The climax. The offerings have been explained. The consecration took place. And now, after saying all these things, after all these instructions, we are practicing them. They started to practice them. And they are not consumed. This is a resolution to the crisis described in Exodus chapter 40. And this scene, this meeting in this way, maybe the first time a meeting like this takes place since Genesis 3. Since Genesis 3. This is a very, very special meeting. God is meeting with His people through the sacrifice and through the priest. This whole scene shows us the drama of salvation. This is the drama that the Lord is teaching His people. This is what is going to happen one day. A perfect, anointed, consecrated high priest is going to bring sacrifices, but he will not bring any sacrifice for himself because he was sinless. But he will take sacrifices, and in this case it will be his own self, and come to the presence of God. And as he has been offered, as he offered himself, he will come back to the people whom he represents and bless them. Now the blessing of the Lord is upon you. This is the first time we see a reference to the God, to the people of God seeing the glory of God in this way. See how when they came out in verse 23 and blessed the people. See the last part of verse 23. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all people. All the people have seen the glory of God. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And this shout is the shout of joy. The Lord accepted this priest. He accepted this offering. Now we can see His glory. This is the first worship scene in the tent of meeting, which kind of representing God's making a new creation. So if you will see the scene like this, in Genesis we saw the first creation. And now in Exodus and Leviticus, we see the Lord is showing us a sample, a drama of what is going to be a new creation. And even the tabernacle, it looked the colors, the scene in the tabernacle, as if you remember what we said in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, there was a holy of holies and holy, and then the outer place. It's a small, a maquette or a small figure of the whole creation. It's a new creation. And now we have here Adam as the first high priest, and now Aaron is a kind of a second Adam, bringing God's people to the new creation. But this whole scene was a shadow, was a type of a greater scene of New Jerusalem, which will be the new creation. With the last Adam, a final Adam, the high priest, who will bring his people to God's presence. They will meet God in his place. And this role of Aaron's role as the high priest became very clear from now on. He offered the sacrifices. After chapter 9, you will see the Lord not just calling Moses, he is calling Aaron. The Lord calls, or the Lord says to Moses and Aaron. He's now talking to him personally as the representative of his people. He's his high priest. He's the one who became authorized to enter to God's presence. And we'll see this clearly when we go to Leviticus 16 and the Day of the Atonement. But here again we see a kind of a theophany. The Lord appeared to his people in glory. And as I read this text, I remember John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, the famous text, which is related to what we have heard this morning. And the Word became flesh. And literally it says, and tabernacled among us. Do you remember then what it says? And we have seen his glory. Glory. This scene of Leviticus 9 is now reaching its goal in the incarnation of the Son. In the incarnation of the Son, who will be the place in which he is the person on whom we will meet God, because of his work as the high priest, because he is the sacrifice, and because he is the one not only in whom the fullness of God is, but because in whom we also can meet God. As I'll close, I will read a few verses from Exodus and then from the New Testament, and we'll see the connection that the scripture makes. In Leviticus 25, the tabernacle was being given, and this is the reason the tabernacle was being given. Consider this a kind of a revision of what we have just said. In Exodus 25, the Lord is telling Moses what to make the tabernacle. Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, the tabernacle, that I may dwell among them. I will dwell among them. And then after giving the instructions of the tabernacle, chapter 29 of Exodus. See what? It's not just a dwelling place. Verse 42, he's saying them, I want you to make a burnt offering always. Why? This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle, at my dwelling place, of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you. When you bring this burnt offering, when the priest comes and brings this burnt offering every day, this is the place where I will meet you, to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And this precious promise, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. To make it short, I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the same promise that we read again and again and again through the scripture, up to the last scene. The last scene. Compare these words with what you read in Revelation 21. The same words. New Jerusalem. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, listen to these words. Behold, the tabernacle of God. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. It will be fully, completely fulfilled on that day. And why? Because there was a high priest. There was this priest in the new creation, where the consecrated high priest, the one who came into the Holy of Holies with his own body, not for his own sake, it's for the sake of the people, for the people he represents, so that he may bring them to meet with God. If we go back in Leviticus 9, 22 to 24, it's interesting. This chapter is not just about the priest. You may see, well, in chapter 28, they were consecrated. In chapter 29, they offered the sacrifices. The Lord accepted the sacrifices. But if you read Leviticus 9, 22 to 24, you see the representation of the people. The people are there. The people are rejoicing. The people are being blessed. It's for the people. The incorporation of the priest and the people is very clear that this is the place where the Lord is going to meet his people. This is the high point, I would say, of the first 10 chapters of Leviticus, where the tension of Exodus is resolved in this scene before us. The next time we'll see a problem will take place that will require the day of the atonement. But till we meet next time, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there was no way for the dead to come before the living one. Not only to come, but even to call the living one Abba Father. There was no way for this to take place apart from the way that you have provided. Apart from the person who called himself, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one shall come to the Father except through me. And this morning, O Lord, we have heard about this Son of God, our Lord, in whom we come. We approach to the throne of grace boldly, knowing that we will not be consumed, not because we are a life, but because we are in Him. We are in this high priest, the sinless, the undefiled high priest, the living high priest, who is interceding for us forever. In whose name we pray. Amen.